All right, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Who enjoyed worship this morning? Give me a wave, yep. Who feels better for being in the house of God this morning? Fantastic. Awesome. So next week is going to be our best weekend of the year. We've got a few guys that are sort of on board. Let me try that one more time. Next week is going to be our best weekend of the year. One more time, because this side seems to be struggling a little bit. Next weekend is going to be our best weekend of the year. Yeah. All right. That's better. Because we're all going to partner together. We're all going to come in force and invite our neighbours and friends, because it's the greatest thing that God's ever called us to do. Now, the preaching's probably going to be pretty good. I've heard Pat Ancliffe a few times. He's the dean of the Bible College at Oxford Falls. He knows his stuff. I'm sure the preaching's going to be good. But that's not why it's going to be so good. It's not because it's likely to be great worship. It's not because it's likely to be great unity. It's not because it's likely to be Spirit-filled. It's not because you get to meet your friends here. It's not because it's an opportunity for people to come to salvation, which is fantastic, but it's because it is as close to the Father's heart as one can get. And so I want to talk to you the rest of today about getting the Father's heart. Get the Father's heart. Jesus told a story about a father with two sons. You'll find it at the back end of Luke 15. The younger son demanded his inheritance there and then and left the safety and the comfort of his father's home. He went to a foreign nation and did some pretty wild living. And only after the son had wasted all his father's inheritance and all the money he'd been given, only after he'd become destitute, only after he had become incredibly hungry, did the young son turn his heart back to his father's house. When the father saw the son from a long way off, he was filled with compassion. Let's say this word together, compassion. He was filled with compassion and ran to him, embraced him, and kissed him. His father loved him and restored him to his identity as a son of the house and threw a big party for him. Who thinks that's a pretty good dad? Who thinks that's an awesome dad? The guy's been doing nothing but being frivolous with his money. You know, he's been living the wild life. Who knows what he got up to? But as soon as the father sees his son coming from a long way off, he's just, wow, this is fantastic. My son's back. The older son, who had not been watching for his brother from a distance, was working hard in his father's field. When he heard the music from the party and learnt that his brother had returned, he was filled with anger and would not go into the house, even though his father pleaded with him to do so. This is what it says in Luke 15:29. But he replied, "All these years I've worked hard for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. And yet when this son of yours," that was his brother, right? My goodness. "Yet when this son of yours," we've never done that, have we? Never done that when we're husband and wife talking to our kids. That son of yours or that daughter of yours? When this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the finest calf that we have. You can imagine the blood boiling, his steam coming off his head. And the father responds to his oldest son. Verse 31, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There are two prodigal sons in this story. First, the one outside the father's house in another nation, wasting away and in want and destitute. The other brother is a second prodigal son who is in the father's house. The grief he causes his father is even greater than the grief of his first son. And the reason the older prodigal causes his father so much grief that he is a son in the house. Who's glad they're a son in the house or a daughter in the house? He has access, or she has access, to all the father's provision, but without the father's vision. And what a grief to the father that his children would flourish in his wonderful provision, but be destitute of his passionate vision. And so this morning, I want to give you 3 points and finish on getting the father's heart. Number one, we have provision for the father's vision. Who would agree with that statement this morning? We have provision for the father's vision. Now, I want to show you a photo here because I've been asking my friends in Liberia to give me, you can pop it up, AJ, to give me some information about this family. Because Pastor Collie, in passing, when I was in Liberia with Shane earlier this year, had said that their family story, and all this time I've been trying to get, and I finally got the information. I want to share it with you. This is from Dominic, the administrator in Liberia. Hi, Pastor Nigel. Korto Zuba, which is the mum there with the daughter in front, and Mulba Zuba, we haven't seen the dad in the pictures, and have 3 children, Game Zuba, and the youngest, Sunni, which is in the photo there. They came from Lofa County in 2013. Their village in Lofa believed in satisfying the spirits such as fish, water, snake, trees, and rock. And as such, the family found it difficult to believe in God. When they made connection with us at the wood camp, they were not serious about Jesus at all. However, we started encouraging them to visit C3 Painesville and asked if we could place their 3 children in C3 Education Academy, our school, as their kids were not attending school. In Liberia, not many kids do go to school. And this encouraged them in a small way, and they started coming for Bible study and prayer meetings at the church. However, because of their strong spirit ties in Lofa County and their youngest daughter, Sunni, being very ill, the mother, Korto, in desperation, rang Lofa County for spiritual advisement from the chief spiritist. Who knows, that's not going to turn out so well. It was after this call that the church, C3 Painesville, started praying and fasting for Sunni. Unfortunately, the child became even more sick, and on January 19, 2014, Korto Zuba rushed her child, Sunni, to hospital. Sunni was declared dead on arrival. This was the time I, Pastor Collie, went to the hospital. I laid my hands on her and prayed, and the Lord intervened. She started breathing again. The doctor was amazed. Sunni had been so lifeless, it was impossible for her to live. The family have now put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you from C3 Liberia. That is the heart, the father's heart. That's why we do what we do all around the world. And whilst the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him and had compassion, fell on his neck, the New King James says, or King James, fell on his neck and kissed him. I mean, this guy would have been really smelly. I don't know, have you thought about it. This guy was like, he'd been with the pigs. He wanted to eat the pods of the pigs. I mean, who's ever been around pigs? I mean, is there anything worse? We've had an experience like that, our family recently. In Bali, there were some pigs next door to where we were staying. My goodness, at a certain time of the day, you did not want to be there. This guy must have smelt like I don't know what, but it was bad. And the father kissed his neck. Ugh. But I want you to get something this morning. The father was looking, his eyes were searching. He saw the destitute, barefoot, starving, frail framed, wrapped in rags, whilst he was still a great way off. And before any of the family were aware of him, the father's eyes had searched him out, eyes of mercy, and they quickly sighted him. The elder brother had his father's farm and his father's field, but he did not have his father's focus. He had his father's provision, but he did not have his father's vision. Do we see what the father sees? Do you see what the father sees this morning? Do you see the destitute? Do you have an urgency in your spirit? Do we see what really matters? Because I want us to see what is close to the father's heart today. Helen Keller, who knows the author, at least heard of her, was born deaf and blind. She was the first deaf and blind person to ever earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. She was an American author, political activist, and lecturer, one of the most influential humanitarians of the 20th century. When asked, what is the greatest calamity? She answered, to have eyes and not see. It is possible to belong to the Father and not see what he sees. Let's have the Father's vision. It's two, the Father wants us to see the harvest. Do you not say, this is John 4:35, there are still 4 months, plenty of time, I've put in brackets. And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The Father is desperate for us to have a vision for the harvest, for us to see multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Who'd like to see more people come to Christ in the house of God? Who'd like to see hear more stories like this one about Sunni and their family now believing Jesus instead of this spirit and appeasing that spirit and having to do that sacrifice so that, man, aren't you glad that we can be a help to people around our globe? And when we have the Father's vision, we'll be looking for those not just near, but those that are a long way off. And the elder brother had no vision for those outside the Father's house. He had no vision for the harvest, no dream or desire for the doomed, the damned, and the dying. And so this morning, number three, how do you get the Father's heart? How do you and I get the Father's heart? Luke 15:20, and even if we have the Father's heart, I think we can grow in the Father's heart. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him, filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. I want to give you five short points this morning. Firstly, we've got to have eyes of mercy. Eyes of mercy. What he sees moves him with mercy and pity and kindness. The first missions trip I ever did, I think, Andrew, you were with me. We went to India. And I hadn't really been on anything before that. I was only a young 20-something, quite young, 23, I think it was, 22. And we were in a place out of Delhi, a place called Faridabad, about an hour drive from Delhi, so North India, kind of. And it was an industrial area. They made motorcycles and various things. But when you looked behind the main city, you see where most of the people lived, and that was enough for me. You see their little dome, mud sort of huts, no electricity, no power, nothing. It's difficult not to have compassion when you go on a trip like that. And I would suggest that every one of us go on some sort of trip in our lives at least once, hopefully more often, so that we get the Father's heart in this respect and have compassion in that way. He looks at the least, the last, and the lost. He loves them and he longs for them. His eyes are searching outside the house. I'm grateful for Port Care and all the things we do locally. And all the great stories I hear through Pastor Charlie and Catherine and the volunteers down there. I'm grateful that we have that arm of our church. But I'm also grateful that we are fulfilling the Great Commission. But I'd like to make it even larger than what it is now and see more places and more people impacted through the love of Christ, like we heard about that story about Sunni. Isn't that just incredible? It's up to us and what we see. Do we have eyes of mercy? Number one. B, the Father has a heart of mercy. There was a yearning in him at the sight of his son. He had compassion on him. The first son had brought all his sorrow on himself. But all the Father could do was reach out to him with tender, loving, and merciful heart. There's an interesting scripture in Hosea 11, verse 8. Oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? How can I destroy you like Admar and Zeboim? My heart is torn within me, and my compassion overflows. I don't believe God desires for us to be overly suspicious of others. Sure, we need to be wise, but the Father's heart is accepting. But the elder brother's heart was not stirred. He had the Father's house, but he did not have the Father's heart. Thirdly, the Father has feet of mercy. He saw him, he had compassion on him, and he ran to him. Can you imagine this scene? A long way off, he was hardly recognizable, but the Father knew because he's the Holy Spirit. And he runs. The rest of the house is not seemingly interested. The elder brother, nowhere to be seen. There is an urgency in the Father. And time is critical for ones outside the house. Can you imagine what would have happened if there was one more day? Even one more day if they hadn't connected with this family in C3 Painesville. Somebody, perhaps a whole family, would have been lost to the kingdom of darkness. There is an urgency in what we do in living for Christ. Mark 13:10 says, the gospel must be preached to all nations. And the gospel in Matthew 24:14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So what's the duty of the church? Do you think it's partly, at least, that we go and we become involved and we give? We can't all go, I know, but we can all give and be a part of the Great Commission. Second son was so caught up with what he had no time for the Father's vision. The devil had him right where he wanted him, enjoying every pleasure the Father had provided with no further cause. Lord, I thank you for your blessing. Lord, you're awesome. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for your, Lord, as I give into your house my tithes, I thank you that I'm blessed. But we can also have no compassion and no heart for those that are just a little bit on one side, just outside the kingdom of God. And it's up to each one of us to have a heart of mercy, to have eyes that see, to have a heart that engages with the Father's heart, and if necessary, an urgency in our spirit to run and help those that are far less fortunate in life than us. The focus of the Father is the going of the church. I want to read to you Matthew 6, 19 to 21 in the Living Bible. Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can erode away or be stolen. Store them in heaven where they will never lose their value and are safe from thieves. If your profits are in heaven, your heart will be there too. The Bible says that 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. Have you thought about this? I did some calculations. Andrea was talking to me about this a few weeks ago, and I thought, I'm going to pick up on that sometime. Let's just say that most people these days know a man lives to at least 70. I know we can live a lot longer now, but let's just take 70. That means if 1,000 days is but a 1,000 years is a day to the Lord, that means we have 57 minutes to live. Now, this is Bible. You can look it up. Actually, I've got the scripture just so you think. It's 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Psalm 90, verse 4 also mentions it. There's a couple of mentions. And if this is true, you get 1 hour. And if you have one short hour to do whatever it is that you are going to do for God, and then you seal forever your work for Him on the planet, the clock is ticking. And we've got to get busy doing the work of God. Would you agree on that? We've got to get busy doing the work of God. The Father, what did He do? He ran. He did not want another moment to pass for the prodigal outside of His mercy and forgiveness. Our Father knows and understands the critical condition and the desperate dilemma of the lost. But there was no sense of urgency in the elder brother. He had the Father's fortune, but he did not have the Father's feet. Also, we're to have arms of mercy. Even though the younger son is guilty, even though he's filthy, reeking of swine, the Father takes him, embraces him, kisses him on his neck, as we've discussed. We don't see the elder brother reaching out with the father's arms. He had the Father's estate, but he did not have the Father's estimate of a lost life. He had the Father's assets, but he did not have the Father's valuation of a person perishing outside the Father's house. For God so loved the world that He gave His only, that whosoever believes in Him should not, but have everlasting life. Do you have the Father's arms today? Or are our arms too full carrying the wonderful provision of the Father? We can have arms abounding in blessing, but too full to bear His burden. We have so much good news. I'm grateful for it. We have so much blessing. The Father's arms are open to the world. Sometimes we definitely miss His vision for our life. That's the beauty of belonging to a church that understands the Father's heart. Let's engage with all we've got so that next week we have such a wonderful occasion and that more of us pick up the Father's heart and actually go as well. Let's do two things. Let's go and give. Is that a good idea? Let's go and give. Faith, hope, and love are not to be internalized. They're not to be hoarded. but to be outwardly expressed in gifts of love, relationship, and acceptance. The elder brother was blessed with the father's blessing, but was not burdened with the father's burden. Paul talks about he'd rather die and give up Christ if it meant that those around him came to Christ. You can look it up in Romans 9, 1 to 3. And unlike the older brother, the Apostle Paul bore the burden for perishing people. He valued what God valued. His estimate of the lost was higher than his estimate of himself. The value he placed on perishing people was greater than the value that he placed on his own life. This is the kind of attitude we need to come with into our missions conference next week. He gave up his life for me. In Liberia right now, they're doing the work of God amongst an Ebola virus that has killed 700 Liberians. We don't have those kind of situations here in Australia. It hardly registers on the news very much. And the Father has eyes of mercy. He saw him from afar off. Father has a heart of mercy. He had compassion. The Father has feet of mercy. He ran to him. The Father has arms of mercy. He embraced him. And the Father has lips of mercy. But when he was still a great way off, his Father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Matthew Henry says, this kiss not only assured him of his welcome, but sealed his pardon, his former follies all forgiven. The Father's lips do not mention his foolishness against him. Not one word of condemnation. They welcome him and they pardon him. If you are on the receiving end, is that the kind of Father you'd like? The older brother has the Father's lands with milk and honey. But not the Father's lips that flow with grace and mercy. He never gave me a goat. How selfish. You've got everything, buddy. And we have everything, church. We have everything. God wants us to be effective in transforming others' lives because we get the Father's heart. We have an opportunity to go and to give. Young people, I would encourage you to get into that meeting because you'll be transformed. You'll get a father's heart. You'll be the first ones at the altar. You'll be going, what can I do to serve the house of God? I get church now. We don't want to be the older brother. He's got all the blessing and all the provision, but actually, he doesn't have the Father's heart. Our Father's priority is to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Mark 16. What's your priority today? What is your attitude toward those outside the Father's house? Do you have the Father's salvation? You have his healing, forgiveness, prosperity, mercy, and love? We can have all those things. But do you have the Father's goods without the Father's goals? Do you have the Father's possessions without the Father's purposes? Do you have the Father's objects without the Father's objectives? Imagine, my goodness. Imagine if the older brother had partnered with his father. Imagine if the older brother not only had the father's provision, but the father's vision. What about if he had been looking with the Father for the lost son, searching the horizon with him daily? What a joy he could have been to his Father. He could have run with him. He could have reached out with him. He could have partnered with him in welcoming the prodigal home. And what would it have meant to the father to know that his elder son not only had his father's provision, but also his vision? What if the focus was off himself and on those outside the father's house? What a team he could have been with his father. He has given us his prosperity to perform his priority. Which son are you today? The one that is away from his father's house, wasting your life with empty living? Or the one that lives in the father's house but does not have his heart for perishing people? Or maybe today you're a part of C3 Church Fremantle and you're a third son or daughter in the house of God and you have the father's provision as well as the father's vision. Jesus lives in your heart, you are a missionary. The Great Commission is your commission. Going and giving is what God has commanded you and I to do. Caring moves us to go and to give so that others can live. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Just two more minutes. I want to ask for a commitment from our church this morning for next weekend. Will you be the son and daughter that delights the Father, that partners with him in his plan and purpose for a lost and dying world? Will you take away that faith promise card this week? Pray over it as a family, pray over it as a young person. At the end of the day, Jesus has commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Dear Lord Jesus, your will be done through me today, I pray. Why don't you pray that? Personalize it this morning. Your will be done in me, Lord. Come on, pray it out. Pray it in your own words. Give me your heart, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The people of God said, Amen.